will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hear the accuser no more as he rails against my child. I birthed you. You are mine. And I am with you, says your Lord. I am with you and I will not forsake you. The accuser of the brethren has been working exceedingly in your thought life, telling you that I've cast you aside and I've counted you unworthy and I've counted you not mine anymore. He is a liar. That is not the truth. He is a liar. You are mine. You are mine. My plan for you has not changed. My love for you has not changed. My spirit is with you. Yield to him. Your journey has hardly begun. Quit looking back at that which is past. Forget that which is behind. Reach forward and press towards the mark. We have much to do, says your Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Ooh, hallelujah. I think we better worship him, huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your long suffering and your kindness, Lord. We love you, Lord. There is no other like you. There is no other. There's no one loves us like you, Jesus. There's no one loves us like you. Oh, we love you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If we left right now, we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Thank you, Lord. I'd rather have 1 minute in his presence than all the church services you could. I just want him. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you again about Wednesday night prayer. Friday prayer time, and I know you can pray at home, and if you're not going to come, pray at home. But there is something right now, a call of the Spirit. There is something about corporate prayer if you can come. Friday, the church will be open from noon until probably 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You don't have to come and stay for the whole time. I can't stay for the whole time. I come for a few hours, and I have to go pick up my granddaughter, take her home from school, then I come back. Saturday, the church is open from 7 in the morning until noon at least. Now, if any manifestations show up, we don't know when the church will close, but right now, 7 to noon, okay? I've been coming to all that I can, and I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. Man, the juices are flowing within me again. The revelation is flowing. I've got so many lessons written here. I don't even know where to hardly... I just know where to start. I don't know where we're going to really go. So that's okay. Because I am not satisfied with where we are. Are you? As long as we can't get Tommy Perez out of the wheelchair, I am not satisfied. As long as we can't get Victoria's fully formed brain, I am not satisfied. Because I know that I know that I know, just like Pastor Dave said years ago, if we could get either one of them into Jesus' meeting, if he was still having meetings on earth, we know that we know, we'd bring them home totally healed. And he said, the works that I do shall you do also. I thank God for our pastor who laid out the path. He said, the path to the cross is as sovereign as the cross itself. You can go as far into God as you want to, because he's given us the tools to do it. Boy, this is a season of pressing in. And I kept hearing the verse, it's in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire, and where it's used there, it's in a danger way. You know, you better not turn away from the gospel. But really, our God is a consuming fire, because John the Baptist, when he was talking about the one who would come after him, he said, there's one coming after me. He says, I'm baptizing you under repentance, all right. But there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to carry. Now, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And to leave no doubt what he's talking about, he said, now he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to winnow those. And the chaff, the stuff that's not of God, it's going to be burned with unquenchable fire. But he's been teaching us more about the Holy Spirit, and I hope you've been following these lessons. And we have a week almost in between them, which today I can't even really do much review because the volume that he wants to accomplish. But I really highly recommend you go back and hear each one of them. And I'm including the Sunday night messages in those because there's some things he's teaching there. He's not letting me teach again. It's just we need Dave again. I see it again. Dave would teach us. We're always asking him roof questions. Why can't we get Tommy out of the chair? See, that's a roof question, okay? Where are the miracles? That's a roof question. And he says, we're always asking him things like that. We're wanting the roof and we don't have the walls, sometimes not even the foundation poured yet. But I think in this church, we don't have the walls built up to where they can support those roof questions. And he's not that he won't teach us. He gave us a book. And he gave us a teacher, the teacher being the Holy Spirit, but it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And he's building those revelation walls, which is not just revelation, it's transformation, as Alan was teaching this morning. Because he's fixing to lay those roof questions on us. I'm telling you, we're about to get our answers. And we need each and every stone in that wall. Sometimes I'm not really a stone mason, but I've built my share of stone walls with helping my dad and doing it myself. I'm telling you, sometimes that next stone that's got to go in that wall, it's big. Maybe it's a big stone. Say, well, I've been looking forward to that one. But see, sometimes you got to have two or three smaller ones there. That's got to be there to support that next big one. Well, that's what he's doing. So I'd recommend every service. If you have not heard them, you need them in your wall. Okay? You need them all. All right. Now, got to open up to Matthew 28. Get your fingers ready. We're going to do some Bible drill. Anytime it's my service, there's going to be a lot of verses. Well, with any of the services. Sometimes we stay in one book, like Alan pretty well stayed in Galatians today. Sometimes he stays in Hebrews, sometimes 1 Corinthians. And sometimes we're just all over the map, and that's more like today. But I want to show you something that has to do with the consuming fire. All right, now, are you going to preach or you want me to preach? It's either way. I just work here. This is not strange what's happening now. It's called tongues for interpretation. This time it's coming through me. I can normally interpret a tongue. It's one of the early gifts that he manifests. What he's saying is, listen, pay attention. I'm speaking to you today. Now, he means each one of you. He's speaking to all of us. But I hear him saying, have ears to hear. I'm speaking to you today. You are on the path of change. Now, pay attention. Matthew 28. See, I don't care if he does that the whole service. It's okay with me. If he just talks the whole service, it's fine. But I also want to be obedient. Matthew 28. This is such a familiar passage that, it's repeated so often, and people take it up and thank God for them charging forward to do the gospel, you know. We're going to look at three passages, and really, I guess four if you count the book of Acts. But it's Matthew's account, Mark's account, Luke's account, all of the same event. We're going to look at Matthew 28. You can go ahead and put a marker in Mark 16. You can put a marker in Luke 24. You can put a marker in Acts chapter 1. These are all the same event. This is the last time that Jesus appeared to the 11. And the very next thing that happens is he ascends into heaven. Okay? This is after he's been raised from the dead. It's after he's been with them for 40 days. He's appeared to them multiple times. He appeared to over 500 people, we're told. But this is the last time that they see him before he ascends into heaven. And each one of these is the same event. You've got to understand that. It's the same event. Matthew includes some things that Mark does not. Mark includes some things that neither one of Matthew or Luke does. But Luke includes something that Matthew and Mark don't. But because people don't realize it's the same event, there has been some confusion. Let's just say it that way. So let's pick it up in Matthew 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them to go there. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here's the famous verse. Go ye, therefore. Go ye. We've had a lot of go ye messages here recently. Go ye. Okay, notice it. It does say that, right? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What are we supposed to do when we go? Teaching them to observe, and that means to do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here the emphasis that Matthew brings out is, I want you to go. And notice, into all the world. It's no longer just for the Jews. What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to teach them the same things I taught you. Now just put it in your knower. Anytime you hear a radical grace preacher say that the words of Jesus before the resurrection do not apply to the Christian, that is heresy to the 10th power. And I don't care if they have a 40,000 member church, it's still heresy to the 10th power. So there, in Matthew's account, it's go ye. The emphasis is on go ye into all the world, and you teach them what I taught you. Got it? Mark 16, let's look at that account. It's the same event. It's exactly the same event. We'll pick it up in verse 14. So afterward he appeared unto the 11. Same thing as over in Matthew. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, here we go again, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So here we got go ye twice. Go ye in Matthew, go ye in Mark, and not just to the Jews anymore, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now notice, in Mark's, the way he words this, these signs shall follow them that believe. Are we people that believe? He's not just talking about the apostles. He's talking about the ones that you go and teach, those that believe what you teach. They will do these things. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Shandai Mahandai. Is that good stuff or what? All right, so Matthew's account, is the emphasis is on go ye. Mark's account, the emphasis is on go ye. And when you go, you're going to demonstrate some stuff. You're going to do some stuff. Is that okay? Let's look at Luke's account. Luke 24. Told you got my juices going. Telling you what. Praying the Holy Ghost. Somebody said one time it'd edify you. I believe it does. Glory to God. Here, I'm going to switch over here. Luke 24, let's look at verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now this is the same event. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What's that next thing? But what? But tarry
ye in the city of Jerusalem until what? Until you be endued with power from on high. Now, before I even comment on that, go over to Acts 1. Verse 4. Being assembled together with them. Now notice, what's that next word? Suggested? Commanded? This is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Him with His authority, King, head of the church, commanding you. And He's saying, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? If you've been following these lessons, we've been going through that in great detail. That is from Joel, the prophet Joel, when they got, he says, He shall pour out His Spirit, the Father's Spirit, upon all flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, this is that which was prophesied, spoken by the prophet Joel. He's talking about power coming on you, talking about the Holy Ghost coming on you, and he's saying, don't leave town before you get it. Don't you even think about preaching my gospel without power. The world won't believe you. So we got, go ye, wait ye. Nobody ever preaches wait ye. All they ever preach is go ye, because you can do that in your own strength. And that's what's happened. We've preached a powerless gospel, and the world sees no difference between Christianity, Hindu, Muslim, or just being a nice atheist. They see no difference at all, because we have not obeyed this command. When you go, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, that ain't happening. You're not ready to go. I've been real nice today, haven't I, Sue? I've just been real nice. I can't mean that. It can't mean that, Brother Gary. All I've ever heard is go ye. We're supposed to go ye with power. There's another verse there. Let's get this one, because he's not done talking yet. Verse 4 again. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not. I'm telling you, don't leave. Is that plain enough? That's what he's saying. Don't go. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now come on down to verse 7. Verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the promise of the Father right there. That is Joel, the prophecy. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams, your old men, whatever it is. I do both. I'm in between somewhere. I'm only 72. That's what my 98-year-old mother tells me. If I complain about an ache or a pain, she goes, son, this tone of voice, when you're 98, you can do it. Son, you're only 72. Yes, that's right. Glory to God. She's going to be 99 next month. Hallelujah. That means she's finishing her 99th year and starting her 100th year. As people say, well, your mother must eat all that organic food. Mm-hmm. Sausage, bacon, eggs, real cheese, real milk. Come on. And sweets like you wouldn't believe. Remember the time we bought her 9 slices of pie for her birthday? 9 slices. Big pie. Big slices from a restaurant. 9 of them. Put them in the fridge, come back the next day. I always check her fridge, make sure she got food, you know. I open up that fridge. These are slices you'd have to refrigerate. It's meringue pie. And I'm looking in that fridge. Ain't no pie. I said, Mom, where's that pie? She kind of hung her head like a. You ever seen a little puppy dog that's in trouble? She kind of hung her head a little bit. I said, Mom, you did not eat 9 slices of pie in 24 hours. She just looked at me like, well, I hit them. but I knew where I put them. Hey, if you're 98 years old and about to be 99, whatever you've been doing, it's working. Let's all go get a slice of pie right after church, anyway. Feasting season, anyway. Hallelujah. Let's look at some words in this. Let's look at in Luke's account. Go back to Luke just for a minute. Luke 24. When it says, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem, that is Strong's number G2523, and it simply means, the primary meaning is to seat down, to set, to settle down, and to dwell. The modern definition of the word is wait. Just flat wait. It's the opposite of go. It's wait. All right? Endued, if you look that up, that's Strong's G1746. Notice I'm not even trying to pronounce them anymore. Hey, you're not speaking Greek. I'm not either. I don't care how you say it. Strong's G1746. Endued. And I love this one. It means to put on like clothes. Jesus is saying, don't leave town until you're wearing power like clothes. When's the last time you heard that preached? And I want you to notice it does not say, now, and you know I'm a tongues guy. I believe in praying in tongues. I'm all about praying in tongues. Thank God for tongues. But it does not say, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with tongues from on high. See, not an amen in the house. Why? Why are you saying that, Gary? John G. Lake saw this about 100 years ago. He saw it already coming into the church. He says, I don't know what's going on, but he said, it seems like there's something going where people are, when they meet the Holy Ghost, somehow they're able to speak with tongues, but they never start operating in power. He said, and that's not what Jesus said. See, and I'm afraid that's where most of us are. That doesn't mean tongues aren't valid. Doesn't mean that. You're going to see in a minute something that'll help you with that. Help, because it helped me with it. But listen, tongues are great. But the end result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not tongues. The end result of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is power. Power to be a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he's alive and seated on the throne. Thank you very much. So the command of Jesus, the king. How many knows there's only one king of the kingdom? The king's word is with power. The king's word settles the issue. There's no higher authority to go to, is there? When the king speaks, isn't that the end of it? In modern language, we would say it today. This gospel, same one he preached. This gospel will be preached in my name among all nations. But wait until you are clothed with power from on high. Gary's paraphrase. This gospel will be preached in all nations. But wait, and don't go to all the nations yet. You wait until you've been clothed with supernatural power by the Holy Spirit that I am sending to you from the Father. Is that good stuff? Well, that'll preach, won't it? But why? Why, Jesus? Because the gospel he preached is the gospel we're supposed to preach. He doesn't know anything about a gospel that does not have power. Do you ever, I'm going to get to this in a minute. I may read it to you again. Do you ever notice this? Jesus had the life of God in him from conception. Isn't that right? And we looked a week or two ago at when he was 12 years old, before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, he'd been a student of God, loved God, walked sin free his whole life. Thank God for the power of the new nature. That life that's in him that we see there, 1 to 12, is the same life that you get when you get born again. And that life is what sets you free from sin. But we watching him at age 12, he's not out preaching the gospel. Now, he's in the temple. They brought him for a 12th birthday, what we would today, they, I think they call it bar mitzvah. And he was in the synagogue. But see, at that time, he could expound scriptures, and they were amazed at the wisdom in a 12-year-old. Well, You're lucky nowadays if you can find a church that can even do that. The church, most churches, you don't get a lot of word in them. Anyway, be nice. But he did not go out preaching the gospel at age 12. He did not go out at age 20, 25, 28, 29. When it says he turned 30, and there's a reason for that, we'll teach five lessons down the road maybe. I know why 30. But when he was 30 years old, then it's time, the time appointed of the Father. Then he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've read that many times. But even then, he didn't start right off. No, first he got led into the wilderness. He got led into the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness? Well, first of all, fasting happened. Enjoy your feasting. I can't help it. Alan just, last week's, it was a Picasso. He says, listen, fasting helps weaken that old man. If you don't weaken it, you're going to put him on a cross. And he's a fully healthy, strong old man. Oh, no, let's say young man, okay? Fully strong, healthy guy. And you say, here, I got a wooden cross here. Lay down on this. No. Yeah. So maybe you get him to lay down finally. Here, now give me your left hand. What are you going to do with my left hand? Well, I got a big spike here and then a hammer. I'm going, and he goes, no. You're not doing that. Yeah, you are. Come on. Just lay here and let me do. Your flesh is never going to do that. But fasting weakens that old man. Fasting weakens the flesh. It's a great tool that God gave us to draw that energy out of that old man that we're supposed to put off. That one we're supposed to put on the cross. Boy, that was just, when you can't improve on it, and you give Alan credit for a few times. Later on, Alan, you'll never hear your name, I'm telling you. So Jesus is saying, he commanded them. I want you to get that. It's a command. I hear him. It's like, they're not getting it. Listen, they have been hand-trained. What if you'd been hand-trained by Jesus for 3.5 years? Hand-trained. Not only that, he used your hands. You laid hands on the sick. You saw them recover. You saw all this. But see, as Dave would teach us, they were really doing that on delegated authority from him. They were able to do it because he said they could do it. You got that? But you know, you've been doing this for 3.5 years. You're hand trained. And he's saying, now go ye. Okay, I can do that. Yeah. I want you to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Yes, sir. I'm your man. 3.5 years. Got my diploma on the wall. He said, oh, there's just one thing. I don't want you to go yet. In fact, I'm commanding you. I'm telling you, I'm commanding you. Do not go until you yourself have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And what I mean by that, clothed with power. Just right now, just for your own self, put on a garment of power. Say, I am clothed with power. We got to start getting that concept. Power like clothes. Get up in the morning and put on my shirt. Put on power. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Well, why, Jesus? Why is this so important? Let me read what I wrote. It said, this gospel must be preached with Holy Spirit power. That any other gospel is not the one he preached. He didn't go himself till he received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He didn't go himself till after. Now, he was already purged. I don't think he had any strongholds, but it's a type and a shadow for us. What was going on out there in the wilderness? What was all that temptation about? He's looking for strongholds. Didn't find any in him. So Jesus wins and he returns in the power of the Spirit. Right. Trouble is with Gary, get him out there. Sue and I could have made a lot of money on us here at the prayer center. They should have been selling t-shirts or ball caps that said, strongholds are us. Handles, are you kidding? 16 handles and that's just on the left side. Bronk taught that message recently going through Joshua, book of Joshua, where it lists that one chapter, it just lists the kings that they had to conquer. Every one of those kings is a stronghold. Every one of those kings is a type and shadow of a handle. 31 of them. Why, Jesus? Why is it so necessary that we wait until we're preaching this gospel with supernatural power? Why? He might say, if you take it upon yourselves by your own authority to preach a gospel that is void of supernatural power, then you're preaching a different gospel than the one I preached. I'm going to say it again. He did not begin preaching the gospel until he was 30 years old. He himself waited until he was clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is our example in all things. He did not preach this gospel without the power of the Holy Spirit. He commands his followers not to preach it without the Holy Spirit power. So he said, wait, do not begin preaching this gospel until you are clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wrote here, because the church at large has been disobedient to that command, the world does not even believe what we preach, that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that he is the Savior of the world. They don't believe he's raised from the dead, and they sure don't believe he'll heal you today. They equate Christianity as just being another nice religion, no different from Islam, Buddhist, Hindu, or anything else. Okay, you're in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now see, when the next part of that is so important. And you shall be witnesses. Witnesses unto what? Witnesses unto me. That I am who I say I am. That I have been raised from the dead. And that I am seated at the right hand of the Father. That I am both Lord and Christ. You'll be my witnesses. That word witness means to give evidence. It means to testify. It means demonstration. In fact, let's look at a few verses. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let's just find some. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4. Start in verse 4. Paul talking about when he first came to them. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If you look it up, that is the word dunamis. Dynamite power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. All right, say it with me. My God is a consuming fire. I'm in the process of being consumed. I'm going to come out on the other side more purged than I've ever been, and walking in more power than I ever have. Amen. Amen. See, go over to Romans 1. Romans 1:16. I got three more of these, so I'm just going to tell you the rest of them, and you can look them up later. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now notice how he defines the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. And you know that's that Greek word that comes from sozo. It means salvation in every way. If you need salvation from sin, if you need salvation from hell, if you need salvation from depression, if you need salvation from some kind of sickness or disease, it doesn't matter what it is, the gospel is the power of God. Say, well, I've been preaching and I got no power. That's a different gospel. He said, don't go preaching that. When you preach, go in the power of God.
Don't leave town without it. It's like, hallelujah. I'm going to give you these next two here. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, again, Paul talking about when he came there. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, dunamis, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Go ahead and, these two you need to see. Open up Acts chapter 4 and John 15. Pinch them together. Or as we say in Pottawatomie County, pinch. Pinch them together. Acts 4. Look at verse 33. Oh man, now here it is. And with great power gave the apostles, or if you underline, witness. What did he say the purpose of? You shall be clothed with power. You shall be witnesses unto me. Well, here you see it in action. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. They didn't just come to tell you he's risen from the dead. They've come to show you he's risen from the dead. And he is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has sent the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Ghost in me. And I've come to demonstrate and be a witness to you that he lives. Where are your sick? Where are your blind? Bring them. And with great power, they gave witness. That word witness, hang on to that thought. Because John 15, look at this one. Talking about the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26. Jesus says, but when the Comforter is come, you know that's the Holy Ghost, right? We're not in kindergarten, that's the Holy Ghost. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Now notice which proceeds from the Father. I hope you've been listening to these lessons. We've been going through that in great detail. When that happens, when he comes, you know what? He... Notice it's a pronoun, not an it. He shall testify of me. That word witness and testify is the same. Acts 4:33, where they gave, with great power, gave the apostles witness. And here where he says, the Spirit which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify. Witness and testify are the same Greek word. Both of them come from the root G3144, which is martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. I looked that one up. Now, originally, that word just meant, it was like a legal term in court. It just meant you're a witness. You've come to get on the witness stand and give testimony. But see, that Greek word, you look it up, there's been so many people over the centuries killed for their faith. That now, that's where we get our word martyr from. Martyr. You shall be witnesses unto me. Webster's Dictionary of Martyr. A person who voluntarily suffers death as the penalty of witnessing to and refusing to renounce its religion. So what if he said today in our language, you shall be my martyr? You already are, really, because you died in Christ. Let's look at this. Jesus teaching. Go to Luke 21 just for a minute. Thank God for the water. Luke 21, starting in verse 12. And you need to become more and more aware of verses like this, because I'm telling you, I'm prophesying in a way. With power comes persecution. As long as you're a nice little Christian, you just go to church and give your money and you don't cause any ripples in the world very much, there's not much persecution with that. You start going forth in his name and demonstrating power and demonstration of the Spirit and power, healing the sick, casting out devils and raising dead. How did Dave used to say that? The devil's going to put a bullseye right on your back. You won't have to go looking for hell. Hell's going to come looking for you. And when they do, say, good, I was waiting till you got here. John G. Lake, in one of his writings, he says, for the real spirit-filled Christian, who's not only got God in his spirit, but God has permeated his soul, God gets in his bones and permeates his body, God permeates his clothes and creates like an atmosphere around him, he said, no devil is going to get within 100 yards of you. They were afraid of Jesus every time he showed up. They knew who he was. Have you come to torment us before the time? I'm going to say yes. Sure have. Here I am. In his name. Anyway. But he's warning them. Jesus says here in Luke 21 verse 12. But before all these they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a, see that word? Testimony. That's that same, comes from that same word, martyro, martus, martyr. It'll give you an opportunity when they bring you in. All I want you to do is count that as another opportunity to be my witness. Hold fast. Settle it therefore in your hearts. Now get this. Not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now who does that sound like? That's Stephen. When they came to examine him. Because he said he was a man full of faith and power and he was doing great things in the name of the Lord. Boy, they come after him, didn't they? And man, if you've ever read that long sermon of his right directly to them, and they couldn't gainsay it. Nobody spoke back because it was absolutely the truth. Man was hearing from heaven and speaking the truth. Verse 16, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall be caused to be put to death. And I wrote, what a contrast between the courage, the spine, the backbone of these first century believers who would rather be a faithful witness of the Lord, even unto death. What a contrast between them and the milquetoast, greedy, weak-kneed ministers today who can't even resist pornography or resist running off with the secretary or the money or both. How the mighty have fallen. How the gospel has been brought down to almost nothing. Those days are over. I'm telling you, those days are over. God's raising up a people. None of us would choose us, would we? I look around this room, I wouldn't choose me. I might choose you, but I sure wouldn't choose me. But God has chosen the weak things of the world, the foolish of the world, to confound the wisdom of the wise. We're just dumb enough to believe Him. Is that okay with you? Does that make sense to you? We're just smooth enough to believe it. Glory to God. Say it again. I'm clothed with power. I'm clothed with power. Say it this way. I wear power like my clothes. I don't ever want to go anywhere. Not without my clothes on. And I don't want to go anywhere without my power on. Get your power on. Get your power on today. Do you have your power on today? And there's such a thing as being filled and then being filled and being filled and being filled. Even the spirit-filled people, he would say, be filled. There's a filling and a filling and a filling. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Get your power on. I liked it. Now notice he said the Holy Spirit said he testifies of Christ. And that was John 15:26. I want to read it again to you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now that word testify, I'm going to give you a little review here from a previous lesson because it's so important. This is the Greek This is the Strong's Greek word G3140, and it means to be a witness, to testify, to give evidence, to bear record, to report, testimony, witness. Okay, got it? Now, Thayer's definition, like Strong's, Thayer was another Greek scholar. Okay, I love his. He said, Thayer's definition says, to be a witness, to affirm that what one has seen or heard or experienced, he knows it's true. And I like this one. This is my favorite. In the Greek, it implies to give evidence, not hold back evidence. To give evidence. In other words, you're not a person that sits there and knows the truth and doesn't tell it or doesn't demonstrate it. No, a witness gives the evidence, does not withhold. That's important. See, the Holy Spirit, he said, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit bears witness. He gives evidence. He does not hold back the evidence. His whole job here is to give evidence. I read it to you again. He shall testify, give evidence, and not hold back of me. When we preach that Jesus is alive, the Holy Spirit's the one that provides the evidence. We provide the words, he provides the evidence. And he doesn't hold it back. Well, he may not do it. Yeah, he will too. He does not hold back the evidence when we preach the gospel that Jesus is risen from the dead and that he's both Lord and Christ. He is the Lord that is working with and confirming the word as we go forth to bear witness. He is not here. The Holy Spirit is not here to replace the lordship of Jesus. He is here to manifest the lordship of Jesus. Whew. He's the evidence giver. Of course, I'm doing that from Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now the Lord is, 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, how does the Lord work with and confirm the word with signs following? Physically, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. We know that. But he does it the same way he did it when he had his own physical body on earth. Jesus himself, when he was here in his own body, he plainly said, it's not me doing the works. It's the Father in me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit that I'm sending you that proceeds from the Father. The prophecy from Joel, I, the Father, will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Okay, I hope you've been following these. That's why he commanded them to wait until they had been clothed with power by receiving the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Hang on here. Okay, I'm sensing a change. Now hang on here just a moment. Hallelujah. Go back to Acts chapter 2 just for a minute. We got time for this. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Let me read the whole thing. Not the whole book. Verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. The sound that sounded like a rushing wind. Notice it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them. Now appeared. That's going to be important in a minute. I'll show you why. There appeared. They saw it. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It wasn't literal fire like a campfire. But it appeared to them like fire. Why? God's teaching them something. You'll see it here in a minute.
And it sat upon each of them. And boy, get that picture out of your mind. There's an old painting from the Renaissance or whenever that showed them with a little candle flame coming off the top of their head. That is not at all what's going on here. They're each getting a tornado of fire. I'm telling you, cloven tongues. I'll give you some definitions here. And notice, and only the 11 were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that what it says? Well, that would include women. And they were all. Now let me just, wait. Wait, back up. You reckon out of 120 people, every single one of them has no flaws at all. What do you think? Absolute perfection. No? I don't think so either. Good. All right, I'm in the right place. See, you don't get holy enough to receive the Holy Ghost. If you could get holy enough on your own to receive the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. One of the previous lessons, God created a place in you called the Holy of Holies when you got born again. That spirit you have is created in righteousness and true holiness. You couldn't make yourself holy. God made a holy thing in you, and it's called that new man. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes and dwells, right there. Woo! But now we got holy on the inside. We got to do some cleaning up on the outside. There may be some trash in the outer court. Anyway, we'll get there in a minute. That's not even today's lesson, really. That word appeared, I'd never looked it up before, you know. That word appeared is Strong's G3700. I never looked this up before. I about fell out of my chair right over there. I was here praying on a Friday or Saturday when I saw this. I about fell out. That word appeared is Strong's G3700. You ought to write this one down. It means to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. Who would have thought? To gaze, I'll read it again. I know some people are writing. To gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. And in Thayer's, he adds a little bit more flavor to it. In the Greek, it implies this. The one appearing, he's allowing himself to be seen. That's the way he worded it. It says, to allow oneself to be seen, to appear. So let's think about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit speaks in pictures, doesn't he? Dreams, visions, right? He can also speak words, but he's very familiar with speaking pictures. He knows the power of a visual demonstration. He's allowing them to see. He's two things. He's allowing them to hear that sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and he is allowing them to see these cloven tongues of fire. Now, cloven is Strong's G1266, and it means to partition for distribution. So if you started off with one big giant fire, and I'm looking at 120 people, and I'm going, they each need their own fire. I'm going to partition, here's your fire, here's your fire, here's your fire, and notice it says it set upon each of them. That word set is Strong's G2523, and it means to settle, to dwell, to continue. Thayer says it means to have your fixed abode. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever. That's John 14:16. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide, live with you forever. Now let me just read here. So that was the Holy Spirit allowing what he was doing to be seen in order to help them and understand what is happening. There is only one Holy Spirit, yet he appeared to them as separate tongues like flames of fire, and he sat down to abide on each of them. Now, the way I'm seeing it is like those visions a year ago where he was giving me, where I was seeing, first, we were the candle, you know, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and our candle was lit, and so I saw this little candle with a little flame. But then when we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, remember those visuals that we had of these fiery tornadoes coming? I didn't know we were headed to this verse then. This fiery tornado coming, and then I saw the candle inside the tornado. We were still there. We were still us, lit candles, but now we've been enveloped with this pillar of fire. Got to be like the pillar of fire from the Old Testament, I'm thinking, you know, the same Holy Ghost. And where you go, that pillar of fire goes. Oh my goodness, rushing mighty wind. We live in Oklahoma. You know what a tornado sounds like? My goodness. Now notice, part of the process is to enable us to speak in unknown tongues. But why is he letting himself be seen as fire? Because the other part of the process, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he told us why. The other part of the process is for the purging of his floor. The purging process. You each get your own fire. I don't have Alan's experiences. He doesn't have mine. I got strongholds in me that mine might be number 27 on that list in Joshua. His might be number 21. But I'm telling you, the same Holy Ghost will purge us both. He knows you. You're going to have your own purging if you allow him. Now there's the purpose of, there's one of the purposes of your tongues right there. Allow him to begin purging the floor. Remember what Dave would teach us? You start praying in other tongues. And all of a sudden you see something about yourself. You know, what's the purpose of putting gold in the fire? Bring the impurities to the surface where even you can see it. So you start praying in other tongues, throw in a little fasting. A little while later, something ugly comes up and you go, I'm not like that. And we're all going, yeah, you are. We all knew it the whole time, loved you anyway. We're glad you can see it. And that's got to be purged. Mortified. Not just dealt with. I mean, not just hid away in a closet. Mortified. Gone. That you be transformed. That Greek word, I was wanting to shout it to him because I know he knows it already, but I was wanting that Greek word in Romans 12 where it says, be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed. That's the Greek word. I remember this one. Metamorpho. Just like a butterfly. I did a message, you know, before a butterfly, what is it? It's a caterpillar. Right? It's earthbound. It has no wings. And I have a message from a long time ago. Caterpillars can't fly. Trying to be something, just be nice, a good caterpillar. I'm going to be a butterfly. No. Doesn't work by wanting to be. What'd you see? He got it. Doesn't work by wanting to be. You got to go through the metamorpho. You got to be transformed. You got to come out the other side something different than what you are now. And he wrote that to people that were already born again. But if you don't want to be conformed to the world, there's only one way, my brothers and sisters. You're going to have to spend some time in the fire. Let it purify the gold and get that black dross ugly stuff out of you. I remember Dave says the second time he was going to do a longer fast. And Rosalie remembered the first fast. I love this. I love this. That our pastor is so transparent to tell it. Lovely wife of mine, I think God's telling me to do another long fast. She goes, another one? Well, would you please, do you mind fasting somewhere else? What does that tell you? So Gary, I've been doing what you've been saying. I've been praying more. I've been fasting more. I've been coming to Friday prayer. Yeah, what's been happening? I've been short-tempered, ugly, thinking thoughts I hadn't thought in a long time. My flesh has given me fits. It's working. Good. Bringing the uglies to the surface. Does that make sense? Bringing the uglies to the surface. I'm not like that. Yeah, you are. But this time it's got to be purged. All right, say it with me again. Our God is a consuming fire.
I'm telling you, every dross, every stronghold, every handle has to go. I have to give you this with this lesson. How many are thankful for Pastor Dave teaching us how to meditate? Meditating in whole images. And then assimilation, reading it again and again and again. I'm telling you, sometimes Sue knows she's there at the house. I'll pour me a hot, fresh cup of coffee. Now, Dave's tea used to go cold on him. Remember when he was in worship? He said, I took a sip of that hot tea. I just set it down. And I take the next sip and it's stone cold. How did that happen? Well, that happens with me in the Word. Sue knows all the time. I mean, I've got that fresh Keurig. Not just any coffee. I've got a Keurig. Pike Place. Right there, man. Hot steam coming off it. Take a sip. And I mean, the next time I just reach over there to take the next sip and it's stone cold. Because what will happen, you get lost in the Word. You actually get transported into it. And that happened to me this week sitting right over there. Again. Now, watch this. The Holy Spirit is allowing these visions. He's allowing them to literally see, to hear this sound come as of a rushing mighty wind. And to see these divided flames. I'm seeing it like a tornado that comes and envelops people. Harry, would you come up here for a minute? I know him. Jake. And Vladdy, I need three. Vlad, would you come? Now, we're going to do like my grandson when he was young, Cole. Papa, can you pretend? Let's pretend that we are all there in that upper room, okay? And we're seeing, we're literally seeing. I'm going to stand over here like I'm the observer. And first off, we hear a sound. Here comes a rushing, mighty wind, sound like a tornado coming. We're all going, what is that? Can't. Then, now, I can't see the one on me probably, but I see on each one of them, just like he's in a tornado of fire. He's in a cloven, divided tongue of fire. I mean, they're in this thing. And you got to remember, this is the part I didn't get till this over there. We're all Jews. I'm accustomed to seeing flesh in the fire. Every time we offer a sacrifice, every time we bring an animal, part of that animal, the flesh, is placed in the fire. We don't tend to get it because we weren't raised like that. But these are all Jews in that upper room. They're looking at this and they're going, flesh in the fire. I know what this is about. This is an offering unto God. And that flesh is to be consumed by the Spirit of the living God. Is that good stuff or what? You can be seated. Don't they preach good? Give them a hand. I'm going, oh my goodness. We don't get that so quick. Because we weren't raised seeing those offerings on the altar all the time. But these are all Jews and they're looking at each other and going, man, there's a flame. And I'll tell you another one. When did this come? This morning. You know what else that's a type of? It's the burning bush. It's on fire, but it's not consumed. They don't die. They're still alive. You know what it's really a type of? Alan did his best to steal my verse. I'm taking it back. It's Romans 12:1. Where you're a living sacrifice. You're the burning bush. You're burning. Holy Spirit is consuming everything out of you, but you don't die. You're a living sacrifice. God, my goodness, come to prayer. It's good for you. But I understand. Okay, I'm going to read this. The Holy Spirit appeared as these flames of fire engulfing every person. They could see this as if staring in wide eyes amazement. Remember that definition? They're staring in wide-eyed amazement. And they're looking at themselves. They're looking at each other being enveloped in these flames of fire. These are Jews by heritage. They all grew up under the law. This had to look very familiar to them. Their whole lives they have watched as flesh was placed in the fire as an offering to God. Always before, though, when they would watch, the flesh would be consumed. But in the Christian dispensation, what's the Holy Spirit teaching? We are to be living sacrifices, offering our bodies on the altar of the cross daily. There it is. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The Holy Spirit, this holy fire, came to dwell, to continue with each one of them and with each one of us. The purging process will continue as long as we are wearing mortal flesh. And even as we are each of us purged and bear more fruit, Jesus promised us that the Father by His Spirit would continue to prune us so that we'd bear more fruit. This isn't a one and done deal. The Holy Spirit continues to purge us. So the more you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, your guide into all truth, the more your thinking will be purged. And really, it's your heart, your motivations from false doctrine and wrong motives. Along with meditation of the Word, the Holy Spirit prays the understanding of the mysteries of God. This process, along with allowing continuing purging, produces more and more a renewed mind that thinks according to the mind of Christ. And even you'll find even the emotions get realigned to flow with God's heart, with His love, not only for you yourself, but for everyone that you meet. You're getting just about ready now to go ye. Go ye. Hallelujah. So, is that good stuff? Now, it's not supposed to take 20 years to get this. But I'll tell you why it's taken so long. See, can you tell this? Is this hitting your brain the way it's hitting that? It's like you know, it's like, where have I been? It's like Jane, see the ball. See, and again, I'm going to remind you why it's taking so long. This is nothing new. This is all just foundational truth that was delivered by Jesus and then by the first apostles. But we're living after 2,000 years of trash, false doctrine, being dumped on these original foundation stones. And we've been like archaeologists digging down, digging down, digging down. I said, oh, there's another. Dave found a stone. Praying in other tongues is a stone. It's one of the foundation stones. Another one found faith. Here's a stone. On and on it goes, you know. But we've been like archaeologists. But I'm telling you, once these stones are uncovered, it doesn't take long then. I believe we're right on the cusp of the greatest revival ever to sweep this world. I believe it'll be bigger than the book of Acts. I believe more people are going to be saved. Yes, sir. I'll say it. I believe more people are going to be saved in these years between now and His return than has been saved in all of history up until now. Absolutely believe that. Now, don't get me wrong. The world is going to, Revelations is going to come to pass. The world, what happens is going to happen. Right in the midst of it, there is going to be such a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. One more time. I got to put my power on. I got power on me. I'm going to go in my power. But it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Say it one more time. I'm clothed with power. I got my power on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay.